We're in week three of a new series where we're looking through the book of Exodus. We're studying the book of Exodus, looking at the life of Moses. And yes, it's a life of Moses, but it's really not about Moses, all right? Moses is maybe the main character, but it's really about God. God's a star, right? God's a star of this, because we're going to see all through this series that this is in the book of Exodus is all about God keeping his promises. That when God says something, you can count on it. God keeps his promises. Now, timing maybe be a little different than we think sometimes. Like sometimes the timing is elongated, but that's why it's extra important to remember that just because I don't see it right now doesn't mean I won't see it. And if God says it, we can count on it, that God keeps his promises. And this is important because this in Exodus is a tough time for the people of God. They are currently slaves. They're getting worked hard. They're living in Egypt, and the Hebrew people are enslaved and worked hard. The Pharaoh doesn't like them because there's too many of them, and he thinks, man, look at all these little Hebrew kids running around here. When they grow up, if an army comes and the Hebrews join with the army, we're in trouble. I'm going to take care of this right now. And Pharaoh makes a decree that says every newborn baby, if it's a boy, it gets tossed in the Nile. All right, because we got to weed out this population. So brutal stuff going on, real difficult time. Tough time for the people of God. And this is interesting because tough time for the people of God, yet God had made a promise to them. God says to Abram at the time, he says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless your descendants. I'm going to give you so many descendants, it's going to be like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the sky. It's going to be too many that you can count. You can't even count them, it's going to be so many. I'm going to bless you so that whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. I'm going to use you to be a blessing to all those around you even. I'm going to bless you so much that those that bless you will be blessed, all right? That I'm going to take care of you and all this good stuff. And so the Hebrews are like, this is great. We're the people of God. He made us his promise. If God is for us, can be against us. This is awesome. But then here they're in Egypt and they're slaves and they're getting beat up and mistreated and now their babies are getting killed. Tough time, all right? So this has been about 300 years after the promise. So they've been waiting on this promise for about 300 years. And today's passage, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 2, starting at verse 1. So you can open your Bibles there. Exodus 2, starting at verse 1. And we're going to see a key moment in the completion of this promise is going to happen today. And it's going to happen, believe it or not, on Mother's Day. It's going to happen based on a mother's love. A mother's love is going to play a vital role in God keeping his promise to the people of Israel. Without chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, without Moses' mother, none of this ever would have happened. Not just because she gave birth to him, but what she did after that as well. So Exodus chapter 2, starting at verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 to 10. We there? Second book of the Bible, right at the beginning. Exodus chapter 2. This is what it says. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Why'd she hide him? Remember, the Pharaoh made that decree. But verse 3, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it in among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Verse 5, then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket along the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Verse 7, then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. All right, so that's today's passage that we're going to be studying today, focusing mostly on Moses' mother and the choices she made and the impact she had during her life and her faithfulness, the impact she had through her faithfulness in this plan of God's. And again, we see that Moses was born at the worst possible time, right? in history for that was like probably the worst time to be born, right? They're slaves. They're at the bottom rung here. They're living in a land that's not their own. Not only are they just living there, they're slaves and being oppressed by the people there. They're getting abused and oppressed. And not just that, but infanticide's going on, right? Is that the word, right? Where they're killing the babies. So he was born a baby boy during the time when all baby boys were supposed to be killed. All right. So here's this, again, it's this horrible time in the nation of the Hebrew nation's history. And yet in the midst of that, we see life goes on. Right? People are still getting married. People are having babies. They're living their life. They're just going on, right? Life continues to happen. We know that from experience, right? That no matter what's going on, life just kind of continues to happen. So in the midst of that, a man from the family of Levi meets a Levite woman, and they get married, and they have a son. They have a baby. We know this is actually a third child. We know that they had Miriam. She's about 8 or 10, something like that. They had Aaron. Aaron's 3 years old at this time, and now they've had Moses. Well, he didn't have the name Moses at the time, but it was given that name later. So they have this baby, and we're going to see that what she did, the mom, this Mother's Day, we're going to see that what she did and ultimately what God did through her is going to be vital in this story. So that's what we're going to focus on today. The mother, her name is Jochebed, and the choices she made, and ultimately, again, what God did through her. So as we're going through this, I want to point out that Moses' mother isn't the star, God's the star. Okay, so we're going to be focusing on the choices that she made, but it's because God used those choices. God's the star in this story. Okay, so the example of Moses' mother that we're going to see from this passage, there's going to be 4 things we're going to see about her that I hope it cries out to us and speaks into our own lives, the choices that we're making as well in response to God and his promises to us. Okay, first one that we see from this passage, first example of Moses' mother and the great choices she made, first we see that she was a woman of faith. She was a woman of faith. Again, verses 1 and 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Moses became a man of faith because he had a mother of faith. He had parents of faith. They raised him up in faith, and that's because of that, he became a man of faith. Notice that her parents were Levites. The Levites were going to become the family, the tribe of Israel, the family of Israel that's dedicated to God. They're going to be the kingdom of priests. They're going to be the priests. That comes later on. But obviously, there are people. The Levites were a people that were dedicated to God in their lives, and we can see from the choice that they made to hide Moses, to hide this baby, that they were people of faith. Could think of, that's a big decision to make. When you have this baby, the law says it's got to go. And they said, no, we're not doing it. They were obviously people of faith. Think of the faith needed to make that decision to a brutal and violent Pharaoh who has ultimate power, whatever he says goes, to say, nuh-uh. That takes some faith to make that decision. So we can imagine the faith needed to disobey that edict, but we don't have to imagine it because actually Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about the faith that was needed for that. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great book of the Bible, great chapter of the Bible. It talks about, we kind of refer to it as the hall of faith, the faith hall of fame, so to speak, where it's all these people in the Old Testament and they're applauded for their faith. And Moses' parents are in there for this very decision they made. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now again, the Pharaoh, he's an iron-fisted king, all right? Whatever he says goes. He can enslave a whole nation. He can kill a whole generation if he wants because he's the Pharaoh. He's the boss. He gets to do what he wants. But what's interesting, that in the midst of that, under the control of that iron-fisted king, iron-fisted ruler, that baby, Moses, was protected by faith. That faith protected that child. Now, even though this Pharaoh was someone to be feared and respected, we know from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, that Moses' mom said, yeah, the king's supposed to, he's somebody to be feared, but not more than I fear God. All right? Her fear of God was greater than her fear of the Pharaoh. And that's kind of interesting, don't you think? Like, here's this guy, could have anybody killed any time, and he's an active part of her life, right? She's under his rule. And yet, she said, nuh-uh. God's got something for this kid. I'm not doing it. That's a fair, I think that brings up a fair question for us. Would we make that same decision? Do we really fear God more than we fear the people in authority in our lives? The people that have direct impact on our lives, the people that says that they make a statement on our life and it affects our life. Do we really fear and respect God more than we fear and respect that person? I'm not saying fear God like, oh no, here comes God, I'm afraid. But instead, revere God, right? Respect God, honor God. God don't play, right? Like, respect God is what they're getting at. Not like I'm afraid of God, but instead I respect God, I honor God. And it says that she respected and honored God more than she did the Pharaoh even. So she had great faith. She had great faith. It says that she saw that Moses was a fine child. A fine child is what it said in Exodus. In Hebrews, it said he was no ordinary child. And you can imagine this mother giving birth to a baby. And for any of the mothers in the room, you see your baby, right? And there's something special, right? That baby is your baby. And in the eyes of that mother, that's a fine child, right? That's a beautiful child. That's not an ordinary child. Now, for the rest of us, you say, oh, yeah, it's a beautiful baby here. But they all look the same. But for a mom, right, that baby, there's something special. I remember when my kids were born, holy cow, seeing them the first day, it was incredible seeing them come out as perfect as they are. You think, wow, it's an awe-inspiring moment. So she had that moment, and she saw the beauty in her child, saw the potential in her child. She loved that child. And she said, I'm willing to risk everything for this baby. I'm willing to risk it all. And again, think of everything she's putting on the line. Not just her child's life, but probably her whole family's life. Let's be real. With a Pharaoh like that, it wasn't just, she was putting her whole family's life on line for that baby. And but she did. She said, I'm going to do that. She's willing to risk it all for the life of that baby. And think of everything that was involved probably with hiding that child. I mean, newborns? Are you kidding me? They do when they want. They do what they want, when they want, at whatever volume they want, right? That baby, newborn babies, they cry, and there's nothing. It's not an issue of parenting. It's not an issue of making good choices or doing things right. Babies cry because babies cry. That's what they do. And there's nothing you can do to make them stop except for, you know, give them what they want, whether it be food or a little snuggling or whatever that thing may be. But babies cry. And I remember with Luke and Jake, all those nights when babies cry and you're at your wit's end, you want them not to cry, and they do anyways. And they're living in these little huts at the time. You know, we think of sharing a wall in an apartment's bad. Imagine these little huts are like tents. You got a crying baby going on. It's the middle of the night. You're frustrated. You can't get the baby to stop. And meanwhile, your whole family's life's on the line. You got a three-year-old poking the baby. You know, Aaron, his older brother, is probably tickling him and stuff, waking him up. Think of the frustration that must have happened. I remember how frustrated I was with a newborn. There was times I wish I had a basket in the Nile River around, right? That I'm kidding. That's overstated. But you get it. I mean, you get it. It'll be hard. Imagine a newborn baby, and you're trying to hide it, how hard it would be to hide that newborn baby. Imagine the faith involved in that decision that she made. And then finally, it got to the point where they could hide him no longer. His lungs are getting bigger. He's getting more precocious. 3 months old. You can picture 3 months old is different than a newborn. And they said, this ain't going to work. We got to come up with a plan. We got to do something else. And they knew that something had to be done. And so that leads us to our second thing. We see first that she was a woman of great faith. We see the faith and decision that she made. Secondly, we see that Moses' mother was not just a woman of faith. She was a woman of action. She was a woman of action. She devised a plan. She said, we got to do something here. This baby's getting too big to hide it. And if they find out, man, it's trouble. So we're going to have to come up with a plan here. So verse 3. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed a child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Okay, so she came up with this plan. Can you picture her building this basket? She's getting ready to put her baby in this basket in the water. I mean, can you imagine how much work you would put into that basket? All the tar, and it'd have to be perfect, right, to do this, to take this step that she's about ready to take with this little baby that she loves so dearly. She's building out this basket. She's making it all perfect and all that. She sets the baby in there. And for the life of me, I always thought she, like, threw it out in the river kind of and sent it out with the current. Right? In the movies, that's how they do it. They, like, send it out with the current, you know, in the water. And she's like, there it goes, right? That's how I always pictured it, but if you read it closely, she didn't do that. It says she set it along the bank among the reeds. If you've ever been to a river, There's a current in the middle, but where the reeds are, it's still there, right? It's not getting washed down. So she didn't just send it off down the river and say, hey, que sera, sera, whatever will be. Just let her go. Let him go. Good luck to you. Not my problem anymore. No, she put that baby. She had a plan, all right? She puts that baby in a basket. She sets it in among the reeds, right? So it sits there. And she gets back in the bushes and she watches. This is a woman of great faith, right? She had great confidence in God. But she's also a woman of action. She had a plan. She put this together. She it wasn't a foolish faith. Huh? Well, you know, whatever happens, happens. No, she took steps and devised a plan. Best plan she could come up with. But still, she left the results to God because she didn't know what was going to happen. So then the Pharaoh's daughter comes down to bathe. And you'd have to think that Moses' mother, Jochebed, living in this area, would know. She probably had an idea where Pharaoh's daughter comes to bathe. She would have to have an idea that this was part of the plan, where and when this happens. I don't think it was just an accident. I think she had to have known that this is where she comes, where she would come to bathe. Because history tells us that the Pharaoh's two daughters were co-regents of this area of the Nile. Like, Pharaoh's in charge of the whole area. He put his daughters, he named them managers over this section of the Nile. Like, they were co-regents. They were rulers over that. That was their little spot he gave them to practice being rulers. And so they were in charge of this area. And so she must have thought, hey, there's a chance. This is, I know when they come and bathe and where. Let's put the baby out there in a basket in the reeds there, right where she comes, and see what happens. And it's also interesting that in the Egyptians, they viewed the Nile as a god. They worshiped the Nile as one of their many gods. And she had to think, gosh, I mean, if the river god Nile delivers you a baby, what are they going to do? Let's see. Maybe there's a chance. This could work. This was a good plan she had. But again, she didn't know. She's trusting God. She took action. And then, can you imagine them waiting, watching, seeing what's going to happen? After 3 months raising this child, hiding it, she puts it in the river. She sees Pharaoh's daughter coming down. Again, they don't know. She could take the baby. She could throw him in the river like she's supposed to. She could take him to the Pharaoh. She didn't know what was going to happen. And then we see, so what's going to happen next? They see that Pharaoh's daughter sees the baby, verse 5, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. So she took it, hey, bring that baby over here. And again, researchers during that period, archaeologists have discovered a statement of faith that the worshipers of the Nile had. And they would read this statement of faith. It was a proclamation they would make in their little rituals they would do. And it would say this. They would make this commitment to the River Nile God. I have afflicted no man. I have not made any man weep. I have not withheld milk from the mouth of sucklings. Maybe that's a commitment that this Pharaoh's daughter had made and continues to make. That was part of her. I have not withheld milk from the mouth of sucklings. I mean, could the princess, maybe she's repeated this oath before? Possible. I don't know. Verse 6, when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. She saw the baby and had pity on it. Moses' mother, she was a woman of faith, but she was also a woman of action. She had a plan, and a pretty good plan, right? Maybe she thought, who's the one person who could stand up to Pharaoh? Teenage daughter. That's the one that could say... Who's the one that's going to withhold that? You're going to make this baby say no to the Pharaoh and make this baby live? Teenage daughter. And she set the plan in motion. So she was a woman of faith and a woman of action. I want to point this out real quick before we continue on, that those things aren't separate. Lots of times we think those are mutually exclusive things. Faith and action. That you either believe real hard and you just don't do anything you believe, or else you turn off all that belief and you just do. That those are exclusive. That one is, they don't go together. It's either one or the other. That somehow, if you say you have faith, but then you start doing stuff, well, that somehow undermines that faith, and it lessens your faith. And if you really had faith, you would just wait on, you know, you would sit and do not do anything. But I don't think that's the case. I think they go hand in hand, right? Because if you talk to someone, maybe someone is unemployed, and you say, you know, someone who's, talk to someone who's unemployed, and they say, oh, you know, waiting on God, you want God to provide the right job. Great, great. Where have you turned in applications? Well, I'm just kind of waiting on God. You know, I don't do applications. I know my response is, I hope you enjoy waiting, okay? because action is going to be required to go with that waiting on God, right? Faith is not a reason to be lazy or apathetic. It's not an excuse to do nothing. We sometimes jump on faith as, oh, I'm just going to not do anything and let God. Well, sometimes we have a role in this too, all right? So walking by faith does not mean we stop thinking, stop doing, stop being active. We need to trust, like for instance, we need to trust God with our finances, right? We just have faith with God in our finances, but that doesn't mean we just go spend willy-nilly on whatever. Well, God will provide. I guess I can afford that, you know, big thing I don't need, but God will, I'm going to go ahead and buy it because God will provide for it, right? No, it doesn't work that way. We still need to take that step. I may trust God to keep me safe in the car. Every time I get in the car, I pray to God to keep me safe. You know what? I still stop at the red light, right? Is God power? If God keep me safe, yeah. But I still stop at the red light, right? You know, just you still follow those rules. We still have a role to play in this. I trust God for my health, but that doesn't mean I can chain smoke and drink nonstop and eat all junk food all the time, right? We still have a role to play in this, right? Faith and action, they go hand in hand, all right? So don't use faith as a reason not to take action, all right? That faith and action, faith should actually move us to action, all right? Okay, so we see this was a woman. Moses' mother was a woman of faith. She was a woman of action. And the result of this, number three, she was a woman blessed by God. She was a woman blessed by God. Okay, back to the story. She puts the baby in the basket, puts it in the water, in the reeds. She's watching. The Pharaoh's daughter picks it up. Takes pity on the baby. And you can almost picture before a time. Can you imagine with me that Jehoshabed, Moses' mother, practicing this speech with Miriam, saying, okay, when she grabs that baby, you have to make it look real natural. Okay, just get up and say, hey, do you want me to go find one of the Hebrew ladies to nurse that? You know, the practicing the speech, practicing the question, going over this. You know, they're just getting ready to do this. And that leads us to verse 7. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Verse 8, yes, go, she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Woo! Jehoshabed, I bet she like sprinted up. Should I go find? Yeah, I'm here. I'll do it. Yes, I'll nurse that baby. Not only did Moses, this little baby, get to live, which was a big thing, but he got returned to his mother, that she had this extra time to nurse him and care for him. And not just that, she got paid to do it. You guys catch that? She got paid to do it. Now, who are the Hebrews? Who are the Hebrews? Slaves. Nobody gets paid for anything. They're off building bricks and getting whipped and building the Pharaoh's vacation home, right? They're doing all this hard work, and they're slaves. And yet, not only does the baby live, he's returned to her. She's going to get paid to care for her own baby. This is a blessing from God, right? This is not, hey, her plan worked. So let's not say, man, she was such a smart person. She came up with such a great plan. Remember, she's not the star. God's the star. If there's any doubt, look at how he blessed her. That is a blessing from God that she had the baby returned to her, and she's going to get paid to care for it, all right? That's a mother who, a mom of faith, a mom of action, but a mom blessed by God, all right? Have you ever been blessed like that from God? Has God ever come through for you and like, holy cow, that has to be God, right? You just know it. Because there's like normal blessing, and then there's something over the top. It's like, that had to be God. That's what she's feeling. She's so joyful right now. Her baby's alive, which is what she's hoping for. That was the number one hope, that the baby would live. But now she's returned. The baby's returned. And she's getting paid to feed this baby, to care for this baby. All right. So she was a woman of faith. She was a woman of action. And God blessed her. And so we don't know how many years she had Moses. We don't know how many years she had him. History shows probably about preschool age. So she had him up to maybe 3 or 4, something like that. And then she had to return him to the Pharaoh's daughter. But even so, that was a great blessing to have that time with this baby, to have that time with him, and knowing that he would be cared for after that. And she took full advantage of those years, which leads us to the last thing, the fourth thing. She was a woman used by God. She was a woman blessed by God, and she was a woman used by God. Those years that she had with Moses were foundational in this whole, everything that's going to happen in Exodus. It all starts with those years of this act of faith Moses' mother took, and then those years she had with him, that time she spent with him. She nursed him. She raised him. She taught him all that she knew. She taught him about God, the one true God, not this river God and bug God and all these other gods. No, the one true God, the God of heaven and earth. She taught him about how he was a Hebrew, right? Taught him about his people. And she planted in this head this picture of God's promise, that God's made a promise to you and to the people, to his people. He's going to lead us out of here. There's a land north of here, Canaan, flowing with milk and honey, a land of blessing, and God's going to lead us there. That there is a promised land that he's made a promise to our fathers. He's going to lead us out of that. She's poured these thoughts into his head. She trained him who he is as a people of God, as a Hebrew, as one of God's people, what it meant to be a Hebrew. Gave him that. And Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Let's turn there real quick, because this gives us some insight about what she taught him. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Again, this is that chapter all about people of faith from the Old Testament. This is what it says, verse 23, Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Look at those choices Moses made. This is all talking about the time that Moses was living with Pharaoh's daughter. Clearly, those choices came from something, and they came from those short years he had with his mother. That during that time, verse 24 shows us that he gave her an identity. That's the first thing that she passed on to him, was his identity as a Hebrew, as a people of God. He said, verse 24 said that she refused to be known as a Pharaoh's son. As good as that could have been, she wasn't having it. He said, no, I'm a Hebrew. All right, I'm a Hebrew. That's my people. That's who I am. He had an identity imparted to him from Moses' mom. Secondly, he had a purpose. His purpose was imparted to him. In verse 25, said he knew he had a greater purpose than just running after those temporary sins, those sins for temporary pleasures. He knew he had a purpose, something greater for him. And so he had an identity, he had a purpose, and finally, she imparted to Moses his faith in verse 26. And he said he looked ahead to his reward that was coming. He looked ahead to what was coming. And so he had faith in that, faith in God to keep his promises. And boy, what a great, if I could do that for my kids, right? Any of you parents out there, wouldn't that be great to be able to pass it on to your kids, an identity, a purpose, and faith? To be able to let, and not just for our kids, but for any of us to have impact, to have a lasting impact beyond ourselves, to pass that on to someone else, to pass those truths on to someone else, the truths of identity, who we are in Christ, that we are the people of God, that we are set apart, we're aliens here, we're strangers here, we're meant to be different. We don't fall for that, going for the same old stuff. We have an identity as a people of God to pass it on to those around us. That we have a purpose. There's something far greater than chasing after temporary sins of this world. There's a greater purpose for us, a greater purpose than temporary pleasures, all right? And finally, to pass on faith in the midst of that, in the midst of living that out, to have a strong faith that anchors us. And when things are getting hard and tough and the waves are big and the storm is large, we can still have faith. And that's something that we should all be looking to pass on to those around us. What a lasting impact to pass on identity, purpose, and faith. And we could all take a moment and thank the person who passed it on to us, right? Because someone, if you're here today, probably passed those things on to you, right? If not, maybe you're still learning them about identity, purpose, and faith. But so valuable. But that's the way that we can have impact, to pass that on to someone else, have impact, like looking at Moses' mother and be able to pass that on. This isn't just about hey, moms, here's how to mom. No, this is about, hey, people, here's how to be impactful people, right? That's what this message is about, the things we could do to make an impact and see what the choices she made and the difference that made in Moses' life. We, too, can impact others by making these same choices. All right, so finally, Moses' mother shows us, this is important, God can use anyone at any time. God can use anyone at any time. Moses' mother had every reason to take a pass. God's moving her heart. No, count me out. You kidding me? Have you seen that Pharaoh? That guy's crazy. No way. Right? Times are too hard. She had every reason to say no to God. It was a tough, tough time she was living in. She was a slave. living in slavery, right? Her people were getting abused and mistreated. They were taking babies and killing them. All these reasons for her to say, I pass. And we too often use our hardships as a reason to say no to God. God, I can't follow you down that path. I can't do that thing. How am I going to do that thing? I can't even pay my bills, right? Things are too hard right now. Have you seen my neighborhood? The things I have to deal with? You want me to step out in that way? I can't do that. It's too hard. Right? We have so many hardships, and we too often want to use our hardships. I got no money. My situation is too difficult. I don't got a job. I don't have an education. I don't have all these things I don't have as a reason why I don't want to respond in faith to God, to take that step for God. But Moses' mother shows, man, if she can do it, we can too, right? Our situation is not worse than that. And that was that's a bad situation. I mean, I don't know your situation, but I'm guessing. This is pretty bad here. So God shows us he can use us in the most difficult time. No hardships, no excuses, right? We can still follow God and be people of faith and have impact. So today, we're going to end today by praying to God to ask us to help us in this, to live lives of impact. As we looked at the life of Moses' mother and the choices she made, hopefully that put a moved on our minds and said, gosh, I'm not doing that, or I want to live that way, or I want to be that way. And so with that, I want to end with a prayer of repentance. And this is something I'm going to lead you in. And so this is something that it's a time where for us to repent of our lack of faith. We see Moses' mom, her faith in God, and say, man, I don't know if I have that. So we want to repent, turn from that, say, no, I want to have more faith in what I have. Repent from our lack of action. But saying, boy, she jumped down, she just did it. Boy, she came up with a plan and did it. I want to be that way. I want to turn from my own fear, my inactivity, and turn to God. And finally, ask God to bless us and to use us like he did with Moses' mom. So what I want you to do now is where you're sitting, just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to repeat after me. You don't have to do it out loud, but in your own mind. Repeat this prayer after me and again, it's not about the words, it's what's going on in your heart. So hopefully this will be moving your heart in the same direction as we all just pray this out to God together. Let's pray. God, I confess my lack of faith to you. I confess I often fear others, respect others, follow others more than I do for you. I want to change that today. God, I also want to repent of my inactivity to you. Help me to have the courage to take the steps you are asking me to take. And God, I ask that you would bless me. I want what you want for me. I want your blessing even more than what I think I deserve. And please use me for your purposes, that I may have a lasting impact for you. Thank you. I love you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.